Welcome to the podcast. I'm Richard McClain.
I'm Kelly Wilkins.
And this is Please Leave a Message. This will be episode number 28. We're into season 2. This will be episode 10. And we have not been on the air for like a month.
I'm going to kick us off.
So I do episodes as I can get people to come in. So it's not like super regular or anything.
You don't have to ask me twice.
I'll go through long stretches with nothing and then a whole bunch.
A strike of inspiration. I need Kelly Wilkins to revive the show.
All right. So we're called Please Leave a Message because you can call and leave us a message. Our phone number is 801-SKETCH-1. That's 801-753-8241. We were asking people to call in and leave us funny stories or spooky stories or share with us some kind of found audio that they had. And I also had a contest I was running that I announced on the last podcast that went up. And I was supposed to announce the winner for that like a month ago, but I haven't recorded an episode since then. But nobody entered.
Well, that's very rude.
Not a single person entered the contest.
That's very rude.
So nobody won.
Maybe after this, you could do another one and maybe some of my friends will enter because I'll force them to listen to this.
That would be fantastic. So you can also find us on Instagram. Our Instagram is @messagepodcast. And if we talk about anything visual on the show, then we'll post pictures there so you can see what we're talking about because we're not a video podcast.
Good thing too, because I look like rubbish.
All right. And then of course we're at pleaseleavemessage.com, or you can also find us on iTunes, and you can find us on TuneIn, and you can also email us. We're at pleasepodcast@gmail.com. So we already mentioned that nobody entered the contest. So it's the contest that went nowhere.
I didn't know that could be possible. I mean, who doesn't like a contest? What was the prize? I think I saw you give away...
It was...
A comic?
It was my comic.
Oh, well, everyone missed out.
Yeah. So I've got, I think, about 20 of those left.
Oh.
From my run.
Very cool.
So I was going to give one away, but nobody entered. Made me sad. What's up with you, Kelly?
That's pretty general. Costco today, so having a good day. No. focusing a lot on the business that I work on and my content as well. I have a YouTube channel called Boy Named Kelly, and it's still in its infant stage, but I'm really excited about it. And apart from that, my business Accent Aerials, which has been going strong for 2.5 years now. It's about the same age as your podcast.
Nice.
So I've been doing that a lot.
Okay, cool. So I started painting about a year ago.
Oh, wow.
In high school, I was one of the art geeks. Mm-hmm. I took every art class that was available. I spent all day, every day in the art classroom.
Yeah.
I hated painting.
Which is kind of ironic because you're supposed to love it as an artist.
I hated it. I just wanted to draw.
Mm.
I did not like painting at all.
Those are all the same to me.
That's completely different.
But at least like when I think, oh, I'm an artist, it's like, oh, it's all good. Paint, draw. But I guess you are particular with drawing.
It's very different. I liked drawing and I never really got into painting. And but
too messy.
The art teacher, she was all about painting, but I didn't like it. She showed us all these different kind of techniques and stuff.
And you were having it.
I couldn't stand it. I just wanted to draw a comic book.
Why wouldn't she let you?
Well, she let me draw a comic book. In fact, usually she just said, what do you think you deserved as a grade? And I go, I don't know, an A?
I would be like, 100%, ma'am.
I don't know, an A? That's what I always said.
What kind of teacher is that? Interesting.
Well, she knew I was always there, always doing art. As long as we were doing art, she was happy.
I believe that.
The students that never showed up, they were...
Yeah, it's like, you're just worthless.
So there was that. And then I got into college, and I did a multimedia degree.
That's cool.
But I wanted to get into animation, but they didn't have an animation degree. So
really?
Multimedia was the closest thing I could find.
Yeah.
But then I knew that to do animation, your art skills had to be strong.
Right.
And so I took as many of the...
And efficient.
Yeah. And so I took as many of like the illustration kind of classes that I could work in. And even then, I took the painting classes and I was...
That's just boring.
It was painful to me. I didn't like it. So then I was at this art show a little over a year. Well, about a year ago, probably.
Okay.
And it was a friend of ours. Mm-hmm. She was doing a show, and her husband was performing music at the show.
Oh, cool.
It was just kind of a backyard thing. And
oh, neat.
We ended up buying one of her paintings.
That's so nice of you.
And we were looking around. It's just like, I want to paint. It was just the weirdest feeling to me. It was
really?
Like looking at all this stuff. I was like, I want to paint. I've never wanted to paint. Even when I was painting, I didn't want to paint.
You just got really nostalgic, sounds like.
It was bizarro is what it was. So, but I mentioned that to her. I'm like, man, I'm just, this show, for some reason, has inspired me. I want to paint again.
That's cool.
And she says, do it. Get 6 or 7 pieces together. We'll do a show like this for you.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, okay, I can do that. I looked at her prices and I'm like, yeah, I think I can do that.
I like money, so I'll do this. I'm the same way.
So then I started painting, and I just figured it out maybe 2 weeks ago. I figured out why I liked it this time and I didn't before. That night, I had this idea in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured out the dimensions and I bought the boards and I gessoed them up and I painted it.
I don't know what that means, but keep going.
Gesso is like how you prep the board to put the paint on it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's
I watched the, what's that guy?
The Joy of Painting, Bob Ross.
Bob Ross. My brother loves that show.
I could never stand that show. I would turn it off every time. I know that's like sacrilege these days.
No happy trees for you.
No, I didn't get it and I still kind of don't. But anyway, not that he wasn't brilliant at what he did. It just was not for me.
Mm.
So I figured it out like 2 weeks ago. So when I came up with this idea, you buy just the board at Lowe's.
Yeah.
And,
I love Lowe's.
And cut it up and then prep it. And
of course. You got to prep it. Of course.
Prep it. And, so I came up with the one idea for a painting, and then I came up with 3 or 4. And so I figured out how to fit them all onto one board and then to have them cut the boards down for me. I ended up with some smaller canvas, some tiny ones.
Yeah.
And that's all that I had left. I painted on all the big ones and I had a bunch of the small ones left. And I wanted to paint some more. And I was like, I don't want to paint on these small ones. And I was like, that's it. I've been painting on too small of stuff. That's why I hated it in high school.
Oh.
That's why I hated it in college.
Your ideas are too big. You're a genius.
It wasn't big enough for me because I enjoyed painting on these big canvases.
That's interesting.
Apparently. But then I ended up, I went to Lowe's again because I had more ideas, and so I got more big boards.
I'm the same way except with yard work, but keep going.
I hate yard work. And I hate her. Anyway, so I get home and I've got all these new big boards.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I don't want to prep them. So I started painting on the little ones.
You can have your cake, but you sure can't eat it.
I know. I'm horrible.
That's too bad.
So that's up with what's up with me. I've been painting.
That's cool. That's
so I finished. I finished one. Finished one last night. Want to see it?
Yeah, I do.
It's all one piece.
They all go together. Oh, okay. That's art talk. All one piece. I know that. Oh, one of them's a record. Oh, so the big one's a record, and the top and bottom pieces are... Oh, it looks like the middle piece that the record... Like that needle that the...
Yeah, that's the spindle of the record.
The spindle that the record sits around.
Yeah, and it's spinning, and you can see the reflection in
there. And this top one is the needle that reads?
Yeah, that's the head cartridge.
Oh, it's like an interpretation.
And it's on the record, and you can kind of see the reflection from the shiny record.
Very shiny.
So
psychedelic.
So it's called Happy Place.
Happy Place. Is this Richard's Happy Place?
This is a happy place for
me. A father of three needing a happy place? How can that be?
Very well, cool. There are lots of records in.
Yeah, I've noticed the room that we're in is wall-to-wall records, DVDs, old audio equipment. I'm just sitting in here. My eyes cannot digest everything that there is. So many DVDs. It's like Netflix on the wall right here on all these shelves. Whoa, so many records. Very cool. I'm impressed.
So I bought all these record shelves thinking, I was like calculating. I'm like, yeah, that'll be enough for the records that I've got.
Nope, not enough. There's records everywhere.
Actually, I filled them completely up the day I installed them, and then I kept buying more records.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Well, I think you have a passion. That's what I call it.
Yeah. Some people call it a passion. Some people call it crazy.
What does your wife call it?
She's like, really, Richard? More records?
Really, Richard? I can hear it now. That's hilarious.
No, she's cool with it. So anyway, so that's what I've been up to. Oh, I was also on a panel.
You were?
I was on a panel.
Were you at the...
No, it was a conference up in Salt Lake.
Oh, that's so cool.
Called CIMA. C-I-M-A. The Conference of Intermountain Archivists.
What is that?
So I work in a library full time.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I'm in the archives.
Librarian conference.
Did basically.
Did everyone have glasses? Was everyone just like, shh, this is a library? Did they train you? The librarian demeanor?
No. I got invited to be on this because I work in an archive, yeah. And I do the digitization. So
oh, cool.
If it needs to be scanned or if it's audio or video,
right.
I get it into the computer and then I do the restoration work to make it presentable.
Very nice.
A colleague of a colleague mm-hmm. had contacted me and said, hey, I'd like you to be on this panel with SEMA. And I'm like, well, if I can get the school to pay for me to go, I will do it. And they paid for me to go.
Wow.
So I did it.
That's so
cool. I went and I was on this panel. It was the funniest thing because she told me when she originally invited me what the topic would be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about audio in the archives
yeah.
and was specifically talking kind of about copyrights and,
yeah.
and stuff that you'd have to work around with copyrights and how you deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, yeah, that's something that I can talk about.
You went to college.
I took two art law classes and we talked about copyright extensively. So I think I could hold my own on
yeah.
this thing. So I said yes. And then a month later, she sent me the questions and I read the questions and I said, I don't know any of this stuff.
It's like I need Google right now.
Well, it was the part of the archives that I don't deal with. So I prep all the media, but I'm not the one who actually catalogs it, puts it in the databases.
You strictly digitize.
Yeah, I'm the digitizing guy, and I do restoration work.
And
so
I can
clean up the pictures, I can clean up the audio, make
yeah.
it sound nice. You know, I can repair audio, I can repair video a little bit.
You could say that you're like the key player in
so,
everything.
What I do is magic
mm-hmm.
to everybody else. So that's a good place to be at work where they see what you do and they have literally no idea how you do it.
They can't get rid of you no matter what you do. It's kind of like Dr. House.
It's magic.
Yeah. For those of you who have not watched House, I recommend that you do. I love that show. I'm watching it right now.
We watched it for a while. Every show.
What happened?
Every show that we watch, we get to a certain season and we're just like, ugh.
I was like that with the first season. I was like, I'm liking where this is going, but they would just have parts of like, oh, this acting, oh, they need to fix that. But as they get more notoriety and funds,
well,
you can tell that like it improves.
And House got weird because like,
I'm so glad you know what House is.
Every single season, they completely threw their old formula out the window and reworked the whole
show.
I'm
on season three, so I just started season three, so I'm still learning all this, but I love the show so much and I've learned many, many things. Like, I don't think I have cancer. I've deduced that. So
you haven't, you've obviously not checked WebMD when you're sick.
Well, when I do that, I do have cancer, but when I don't, I'm like, oh, I'm good.
No matter what you have, WebMD will tell you you have cancer.
Well, after watching the show, I'm like, I don't have any of these things ever. I'm fine. I'm great. A little husky, but.
So, yeah. Anyway, at least there were four panelists. I wasn't the only one up there.
That's cool.
So I got coaching from the head archivist, and so I was able to kind of say but not so much.
Yeah.
I didn't look like an idiot. And
that's good.
And she was there. Our head archivist was there too.
Did you have a big audience?
And so it was probably a room four times the size of this one.
Okay.
And the chairs were pretty much full.
That's awesome. That's like my dream.
So it was cool. I'd like to do it another time on a subject that I am actually more comfortable with.
Like comics?
Comics would be awesome.
And records.
Records would be
lots
even better.
Lots of records.
I could hold my own talking about quadraphonics. Easily.
Whatever that is.
Quadraphonics is four-channel surround sound on records from the 1970s.
Oh, I love surround sound. I like that.
I absolutely
like
love surround sound. This audience might be sick of me talking about surround sound because I get into it so much.
Well, you're an audio person.
I am. And that's my nerdness is surround sound. Anyway.
That's awesome.
Okay. So there's that. Let's do our first piece of found audio.
Okay.
This is going to be a surprise for both of us.
Okay.
So what I do is I kind of troll thrift stores and I look for weird stuff.
You'll find plenty there, I promise.
Yes, I do. So this is Nate Wagoner.
It's an album by Nate Wagoner. It's $2.
It's called, well, at the thrift store, it was
$2. At the thrift
store. So at the side of the album, you can tell that it's Never Tell Me the Odds.
Right.
But on the front, the text is so tiny.
Oh, there's text here? You can't even see it.
You can't even see it.
Never Tell Me the Odds. Who made this album?
Nate Wagoner did.
Duh. I should have known.
And so
Nate Wagner, if you're out there, so please, it says, accept this piece of feedback.
It says all of the songs except number 13 were recorded in Las Vegas, Nevada. Track 13 was recorded in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Oh my goodness.
So
I have no idea what to expect.
And this is kind of an in-between kind of CDs. So I really like it when I find the ones that you can tell were actually handmade by the person.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell that the label was printed on a laser printer or even a jet ink printer.
Is that the case with this one?
This one's not. This one's a little bit higher quality than that.
Yeah, it looks like it was mass-produced because it's got a little booklet.
It does look mass-produced, but it's not like the really nice mass-produced. It's because this is still a CDR.
2010.
See, you can see this is still a CDR.
Yeah.
It's not a...
Oh, it looks like a blank disc. It doesn't have like all the
proprietary... That is a sticker, but it's a high quality one.
Huh,
and it was probably machine made.
Okay.
Because it's like right to the edge there, so...
But it wouldn't be like same quality as something, say, like from Lindsey Stirling.
Right.
Who's a little bit bigger.
Right. So I don't even know. I haven't listened to this yet.
I'm
so
scared.
here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at the tracks and pick one that catches your eye.
This is very, like, I'm pretty sure he's a Republican because all of these are like freedom in our eyes and bear claw tracks, Kishawaukee River. What even is that? Let's do Let You Live Free, track number 8.
Okay.
Because that's my vibe, being free, doing what I want.
So kiss who you want to kiss. I gotta let you live free. You know I'd be lying to say it don't mean that much to me, but I'll be fine, I'll be better with the passage of time, and I'll find another gal just by walking down the line. Said that one day it'll work out well.
I want to try track 13.
Which one is that?
Because that's the one recorded in Salt Lake City at Crystalline Studios.
Let's hope that it's really high quality.
And it's mixed by somebody else.
Yeah, because this is in his mom's basement, I'm pretty sure. What's the title?
Undefined.
Try so hard to blow your mind with a song I cannot write.
What'd you think of Nate?
I thought Nate was awful. I'm so sorry, Nate. I you know, this is coming from somebody who listens to a lot of like the newer stuff, and like there's a song by Foss the People that I really like right now. So yeah, that's just a far cry from, I think my grandpa would have liked that. I don't know. Small town.
It was old school country, but it was like
very twangy and very.
But it wasn't old school country. It was.
It's kind of yodely. I don't even know what to think of it. Does not compute.
It's like 1920s, 1930s country music.
If there was such a thing, I guess so.
There was. That's when they started recording music.
Amazing.
And there's an awesome documentary about when they just went out in the country and they said, everybody come record your music. And like people came from miles around to record.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that's where they found like some of the greats that we know of now. Was just from that.
That's so cool.
So
I like that.
I wish I could remember the name of the documentary.
Well, he was born a few decades too late.
He may have an audience.
You missed your chance, Nate Wagner.
So
this song makes me feel like I'm on my last dollar and I'm walking with a knapsack down like a railroad track. And my girl gone done left me. And my dog gone died. And I have a whiskey problem.
Funny enough, I joined a band recently.
Recently?
Yes.
But you're a dad.
I am a dad. So I have this friend that I knew in high school, but we weren't friends in high school.
I've got people like that. Yeah, keep going.
And then I ended up reconnecting with him. Mm-hmm. And
thank you, Facebook.
I don't think it was Facebook either. I don't remember.
Thank you, MySpace.
I've never been on MySpace.
No.
Ever. No, I don't remember how we reconnected, but we did. Yeah, I know it had to do with role-playing games. Somehow.
Please explain. I'm very, like, Dungeons & Dragons?
Yeah, basically. I think I was posting on my blog about I was getting into role-playing games. And he was commenting, and then we kind of hit it off. And I'm like, man.
You're a warlock? I'm also a warlock.
It was like, why weren't we friends in high school? And it was just like, I don't know.
Yeah, secret nerd stuff. It's like, I love all this nerdy stuff, but it's not cool to like in front of other people.
Well, I would have liked it at that age. Mm. But in fact, I wanted to. In fact, I bought books at that age.
Yeah.
But all my friends played, and nobody ever invited me over.
Well, they're just jerks. That's okay. That's how junior high and high school is.
Yeah. It wasn't on purpose. That's how things go down sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I had reconnected with him, and then he was friends with another guy that I had classes with.
Okay.
But we weren't like close friends or anything. I knew who he was because we were in lots of classes together.
But you weren't friends.
But we weren't really, like, I knew who he was, and we didn't hang out, though.
Richard, were you a hermit?
Yeah, kind of.
I can tell.
A little bit.
That's okay, though. It's okay.
A little bit. I had seen, I don't know, some reason I started following him on Instagram.
Yeah.
And he was another one. I was like, hey, we're kind of into kind of some of the same, like musically, we're kind of into some
I'm
of
the same way.
Stuff.
I think I found a friend. Now I just need to plot how to.
So I was just watching and liking stuff on Instagram. And he posted one day, oh, this is our garage. This is where we practice a few times a month. And we need a bass player. And I just commented. This was just so out of the blue. I was just like, well, I took a guitar class this last semester and I've never touched a bass in my life, but I'd give it a shot. And he's like, come on up.
It's like, you've got the cool dad vibe. Come on down.
So he says, come on up. And so now I play bass.
That's cool. Is that that's a red bass? That's the bass. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a bass.
That's a Baser 5000.
That's a Fender Squire.
Fender. Very cool.
That's a P bass.
Very nice. It looks cool.
Yeah. It still needs some work. I bought it from a guy on KSL. And then I got it home and realized that the action was way too high. That's how far the strings are off of the fretboard.
It's too high.
And there was like a good half an inch off, which that's really high.
Well, I hope you got a good deal.
Well, I did. It was cheap. And so then I tried to adjust it myself because I kind of knew how to do it.
How hard can it be?
It's hard. I couldn't get it to go down. And so I took it with me to practice on Thursday night. And they're like, well, yeah, that action is crazy bad. And he's like, yeah, this guitar is screaming in pain. But the good news is we can probably adjust it. So he's like, I'll take it for the week and see if I can adjust it. And then I went up the next week and he's like, I haven't touched it. Maybe you should just take it to someone.
You're dealing with dads, Richard.
I know.
Nobody will get to anything ever.
I know. So then I remembered that I have a neighbor that builds electric guitars.
Well, look at you. Sitting pretty with all the right people.
So I called him up. I'm like, hey, I just bought this bass guitar and it needs some TLC. And he says, bring it over. So,
and he hasn't gotten to it yet. No.
He spent an hour on it with me.
Wow.
There. He says, now, this is playable now, but we need to let the wood kind of get used to itself in this new format.
Should I sing it a song?
And so he says, bring it back in a couple weeks and we'll do some more adjusting.
That's cool.
So, but yeah, I've been playing it. It's
exciting.
Fun. I might feature one of the songs on a future podcast.
Oh, that's cool.
I got to check with the guys and see
what's the band's name.
I don't know if it has a name.
Four Dads and a Mic.
Four Dads and a Mic would be very appropriate.
Or The Dads. It's like The Who, but The Dads.
The Dads.
So, yeah. Or just some kind of like dad joke. I don't know. You pick one. I'm sure you've got a bunch of those.
So yeah, it's fun. Go up, play bass. They show me what notes to play and I play it. So,
hey, yeah. The bass is pretty
bass
cool.
is fun because I don't have to play chords.
Yeah.
You know, I took a semester of guitar and I still kind of struggle with chords, but I can do one note stuff.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
Whatever, yeah, that seems fun. So that's doable.
That's cool.
Cool.
So this episode features an interview with Mike Wisland.
Yay.
Also known as The Wiz.
The Wiz.
Yes. So he's a local audio engineer, and he does a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. A couple days ago, he was telling me about the irises that he's growing.
What is that?
Irises? It's
like
a flower.
Camera? Oh, right. Yes.
And he's like crossbreeding them to make new breeds.
That's interesting. Is he a mad scientist?
He kind of is, actually. Legitimately is.
Seems like a nice guy.
A mad scientist. But he's done stuff for the FBI and the CIA.
Whoa.
Yeah. And okay. he used to work for Boeing.
Oh, wow. This is the guy.
He like worked on their flight simulators and...
Oh, I floor.
So anyway, Mike Wisland, here's his interview. We call this part of the podcast, I Tick. We ask everyone the same 6 questions in an effort to find out what makes them tick.
Uh-huh.
All right. So tell us your name and what you do.
My name is Mike Wisland. I am a professor at Utah Valley University in the digital media department. I teach all things audio.
Awesome. Tell us your earliest memory.
Earliest memory of me, I think I was in the hospital because I had a hernia when I was like 3 or 4 years old.
Okay.
And I remember these giant towers that they would place me on. And I'm like, wow, that must be like 30 feet high. Of course, it was just the checkout counter, right, whatever. But yeah, that's my first memory. I must have been very, very small because that hospital seemed very, very big.
Okay. Tell us a story from your childhood, something that's influenced your life, and maybe something you haven't shared often.
When I was probably 8 or 9 years old, I was really into weather. I had an anemometer on the roof and a wind vane and all that kind of thing. And I used to do a weather report every night to document it, so okay, there'd be a record of it, you know, because who would be doing this, right?
<That's>
so
amazing.
I put it on reel-to-reel tape recorder, so simultaneously teaching myself how to repair and work a tape recorder and record on it using a microphone and, of course, document the weather of the day so that, obviously, I could rewind it and create my own farmer's almanac. That never came about. Turns out other people were doing that.
Yeah. Great. Share with us a piece of music that's been highly influential in your life.
I would have to say it's probably a Beatles record. I would say it was the White Album. That's the first record I actually remember being played at Christmas time. So that must have been Christmas 68 or 9, you know. Bungalow Bill was the record that me and my cousin Bill would run around singing. Although we got the lyrics wrong, we thought it was Buffalo Bill. But yeah, I love that Beatles White Album, especially that side.
Oh, great. Share with us a piece of media that's been highly influential in your life.
A piece of media?
Yeah, and this can be anything.
One of my favorite pieces of material is when the Beatles got back together again and recorded Free as a Bird. Of course, those Lennon tapes were available on bootlegs throughout the early 90s. And when I found out that they were getting back together again and recording over the top of them, I thought, this is epic. And when that single came out, I was watching TV. ABC TV was doing a countdown. It was a big deal.
Right.
First Beatles single in 25 years. So, yeah, I was glued to the TV on that one. And, yeah, I was ecstatic when that came out.
Free as a Bird. I love that one. Tell us about your passion and why you do it.
Well, my passion is audio, and I do it because I can't not do it. And that's how you determine what passion is, isn't it?
Indeed.
Really? And so, I mean, even in my early days as a weatherman, I turned to recording sound effects, and mostly nature. So I'd go out and record frogs, and another night I'd record birds or something, or anything that was around, thunderstorms. And I put those in, and I have miles of cassette tape of sound effect recordings and things like that. And then I got myself a 4-track and began recording myself, you know, doing songs that I know and loved. I would have to say, the song that I learned on piano, one of the first songs I learned, was Lady Madonna by the Beatles. And I do that quite well, actually, because it's like one of 2 songs I know. That and Imagine, otherwise I can't play the piano. A couple ragtime songs. I mean, I taught myself piano between English and music class. I guess it was math. And the music building happened to be in between, and it was nice and warm. So on cold winter days, I'd go down in the basement. There's a piano rehearsal rooms. You know, so I just go in there and do one note chords and things like that. And then I took in a very complicated piece of music just to see if I could learn how to play it. And it turned out to be The Vatican Rag by Tom Lehrer. Maybe you know that.
I am familiar.
And that's the first song I ever learned because I always wanted to play that in like, you know, old folks' homes and just play that song and sing it and make them laugh. I thought that was a funny song.
Last question. Wiz, what makes you tick?
Listening to music makes me tick. I listen to an incredible variety of music from about 1901 to present day. I'm also a DJ at radio station KPCW on Friday night. I bring up my own music there and share it with the public and the world because they can tune in on kpcw.org and they can listen anywhere in the world. So it's really cool, you know? So that all that kind of stuff keeps me alive. And of course, I teach to 20-somethings, you know? And so that keeps you young. run almost by requirement. And so that's why I immerse myself in that environment, and it invigorates me, I would say, in a way. And I also like recording, because I built a recording studio because I'm like, I just love doing this stuff. So I built a studio when I first moved to Utah. I had a studio when I was back in St. Louis. I've always seemed to, certainly every decade, I get somehow involved in a band, and we do a recording and had some fun with that for a few years. So
awesome. All right. Well, thanks for coming on and being interviewed.
Indeed.
All right. So that was What Makes Wiz Tick. Kelly, what are you into?
What am I into?
Yeah.
As far as entertainment or what?
Just whatever. This show is all about my guests and what they like.
I am into, well, you know, I like a lot of different things. I think the biggest thing right now for me is just pursuing these, you know, entrepreneurial endeavors with my business. More recently, my YouTube channel.
Okay.
My brand called Boy Named Kelly. I'm really into that. I've been studying in the YouTube Creator Academy, and, you know, I've got some friends who create on YouTube and have millions of followers. You know, they have amazing followings, and I've rubbed elbows with some really amazing people on those platforms. So right now I'm really, really interested in content creation. You know, I love creating content for my business and making money, but at the same time, I'd love to do something that kind of explores who I am as a person and my passions. And on my content, I've done a lot of talk about technology and just kind of a review thing. I'm still diving into what I want it to be, but it's definitely kind of it has a consumerism twist, you know, with my witty banter. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm into right now. That and little puppies. No.
Little puppies.
And I love to eat.
Well, who doesn't? Yeah, I've seen like some of you like get some kind of technology, some new toy, and
yeah, you know, sometimes
check it out.
I see things and I think to myself, you know what? I'm a very opinionated person, and I've had to learn to express my opinions. Otherwise, they just drive me crazy. And you know, I've taken some really like high end consumer items that are kind of popular, and I've just kind of, you know, examined them and opined a little bit about, you know, are they worth the money type of deal. Is that unique, you know, on YouTube? Definitely not. So
no.
I've saturated the market even more.
So let's talk about something. As mentioned already, mm-hmm. I'm just obsessed with surround sound.
Yeah. Quadraphonics. Yes.
So nobody's done a quadraphonic record since like 1976.
Huh.
It kind of died.
But records are coming back.
Records are back.
They're back.
That's kind of what I'm talking about. So there's this artist. She's doing a quadraphonic record.
That's cool.
And with the quadraphonic record is a piece of hardware to decode it.
Interesting.
So I'm like, I want to know. I want this.
Who's the artist?
Her name is...
Cardi B? No.
I wrote it down. It's Suzanne Ciani.
Suzanne Ciani. Never heard of her.
Apparently she's been around a long time.
Oh.
And she does kind of electronic stuff.
Cool. I like that.
So she wants to do, or she's done a quadraphonic record, but it comes with the hardware. But I couldn't find the price anywhere. So I put myself on the list to get a copy, mm-hmm. just so I could see how much it was going to cost. So the other day I get this email, mm-hmm. and this is how it ties into the toys thing.
Yeah.
I got this email that said invoice. And I'm like,
did it no, charge your card?
I did not. No, it didn't charge my card.
Oh, good.
Because I can't afford it.
Yeah.
So it's $278.13.
For a vinyl.
For this record. But that's because it comes with a hardware decoder.
Is Michael Jackson on this album?
No.
He better be.
But it comes with a hardware decoder. It comes with the decoder because most people don't have a quadraphonic decoder. So it comes with one. I want the record.
You know,
but I don't have $278.13 to buy it.
I don't think anyone does for a record. I mean, okay, maybe some people do. But
here's the cool thing, though, about the quad decoding stuff.
I've been wondering.
Even if you put a stereo record through it,
uh-huh.
you'll get four channels.
Double left, double right?
No. Because what it does is it takes the out-of-phase material and puts that in the rear channel. And so there's a lot of natural out-of-phase material.
Oh, I see.
Even in a standard stereo record.
Okay.
So say on classical CDs, the way that microphones work, the first thing that arrives, so when mm-hmm. I speak to it, that arrives in phase.
Mm-hmm.
But generally the reverberation of the room will arrive out of phase.
Oh, and kind of the little stuff.
So you can play a standard stereo record through a quad decoder, and sometimes it sounds really good.
Interesting.
In fact, sometimes it sounds like they did stuff on purpose, because different things will be out of phase, mm-hmm. and you'll get stuff in just this speaker, and you'll get stuff in just this speaker.
Okay,
and
you'll get
stuff in that speaker. And it's really cool. Like, they actually did it that way, but they didn't.
Easter eggs.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. So anyway, if I had $280 to just...
Well, if you mow a lot of lawns, it's summertime, Richard.
It is summertime, but I've got until the 30th to pay.
Uh-oh.
And that's not going to happen.
I'll just go on Apple Music and call it good. Stream it.
So anyway, if I had the money to play, although I did luck out. Mm-hmm. So there's a company in New Zealand mm-hmm. called Involve Audio.
Okay.
And the guys that founded that company are also into quadraphonic music.
Let's hope so.
They're way into it. And so they have this decoder that they built. It's a modern decoder.
Yeah.
And it's meant for like ProLogic kind of decoded or encoded stuff.
Yeah.
But because they're into quads, you could special order a version of it that would do the old stuff from the 70s.
I don't even know what that means, but it sounds cool.
The SQ records from the 70s.
Oh, SQ, yes.
Yeah. So if you ordered a certain one, you had to special order it and mm-hmm. say, I want the SQ version. And they'd go, okay, we know you're one of us.
Brother.
And they would send you one. And I wanted one for like 5 years, and they were just too expensive.
Yeah.
It made me sad. They had some scratch indents come up the other day.
Really?
I have one now. I'm super stoked about it.
You found it? Wait, where did you find it?
They had some scratch indent units, so they...
Oh, that's like...
Yeah, they weren't perfect. They were dinged up somehow.
I see, like clearance.
Yeah,
whatever.
And so they were a couple $100 less than they normally would have been.
Let's hope so.
And so I was just like, okay, they're not making these anymore.
So it's just a fad.
So I gotta get it now if I'm gonna get it.
Such an audiophile.
Oh, it goes beyond that. So
how can you go beyond that, Richard?
Well, let me tell you. Wiz, he had told me there's one decoder from back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was from 1983, which is funny because they stopped making quads in 76.
Oh, wow.
And it's hands down the best quad decoder ever built. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants one.
Yeah.
It's called the Research Model Tate 2 101A.
Gotta get the Tate 2.
Everyone wants the Tate 2.
Everyone. I want it now.
Everyone wants the Tate 2. But they go for ridiculous amounts of money on eBay.
Wow.
So Wiz said, if you ever see one that's at a decent price, let me know and I'll...
A great teacher.
I'll bid on it. So I saw one.
How much though?
It was listed for $750.
$750.
So these things sold for $200 brand new in the 70s. It was listed at $750. Wow. But here's the thing. It came in the original box. It had all the original documentation. And it came with the optional remote control.
So you got like the whole thing.
You got everything. And I said, hey, Wiz, there's one on eBay. I haven't seen one for about a year. And this one's at a decent price. The last one sold for over $1,000.
Wow.
And he goes, well, how much is the bid up to? I said, it's not a bid. It's a buy it now or make an offer. It's a buy it now or make an offer. He goes, well, what should I offer? I said, I think what they're asking is a fair price for what you're getting based on, I've been watching these on eBay for at least 5 years. I said, I think he's asking a fair price. You might be able to get it for $600. So he offered $600.
Yeah.
So the next morning I get up and I look and it's sold. And I said, Wiz, did you make that offer? He's like, I offered it, but I haven't heard anything on it. I'm like, I guess somebody else used the buy it now.
And he goes, buy it now. Darn it.
He goes, oh, well. And then literally 3 seconds later, he texts me and says, it was me. I won. They accepted my offer.
Really?
Yeah. So here's what we did. I took my new decoder over to his house. We hooked up his old school decoder, and then we used this guy and...
The audio mixer.
Yeah, this mixer, and then I had another switch.
Mm-hmm. You did all the audio things.
We did all the audio things, and it took me about 45 minutes to set it all up. But what it allowed us to do was A-B compare on the fly.
On the fly.
Between the old one and the new one.
Oh, I see. You could like see the difference.
And we literally spent from about 8 o'clock till 4 a.m.
You little nerds. Just, did you bond?
Oh, we bonded long ago. This was just another thing.
Your wife's like, where are you?
Oh, no, she knows.
She knows. This is Richard's thing. Just let it be.
She knows. So, yeah, we ate bacon compared stuff. And
that's cool.
We decided that the new unit, like half the time, we couldn't even tell.
Wow.
You'd switch back and forth. And unless you knew which button was being pushed, you didn't know which unit was playing, which one was decoding. They were that close.
That's interesting.
There was a slight, a very slight EQ difference.
That means equalizer.
And you could only tell when certain kind of audio was going through.
Okay.
One of my records had a guy with a deep bass voice. And through the old decoder, there was a little bit of a bass.
Interesting.
When he was speaking. Not when other stuff was playing, but when he was speaking.
Okay.
And then on some things in the high frequency ranges, like some of the electronic or classical music that we played through it.
Yeah.
When there was a lot of the high frequency stuff, we could hear a slight boost in the upper frequencies on the new unit. That was literally the only difference between them.
And I'm sure you geeked out.
Oh, we did. We played white noise through it so that we could go beep, 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 and we could tell the difference. And
until 4 a.m., ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah, we are.
Well, I'm happy for you. Having your cake and eating it.
Mm-hmm. So I think we should play some more found sound.
Yeah. I didn't bring any found sound.
No, it's okay. Most people don't have it, but I always offer because every once in a while somebody's got something and it's cool.
We just don't know. We don't compare it to your expertise.
Well, I'm just weird that way. This isn't really found sound to me, but it's locally produced. This is a local band. I'm going to play a song from a local band. Queen Adilla.
Queen Adilla?
Queen Adilla.
Never heard of it.
Well,
let's give it a listen. I'm curious now.
We're going to give it a listen, and we're going to listen to... which song is it? I want to play the one that I'm on.
You're on this?
I'm on one of the... So we were... Because this was recorded at Wiz's studio.
The Wiz.
Yeah. We were at one of his after semester parties.
Okay. Sounds crazy.
Where he shows everybody his studio. And he's like, hey, let's record this part for the Queen Adilla album.
And you were there.
And I was there.
Bells and all.
I think Emily was there. Emily was there too.
Really?
Yeah. So she's on here too.
She would have loved that.
I think it's this one.
Got the blood and guts. Blood of Christ.
This sounds like a level on Guitar Hero.
So this whole album is like, it's kind of a blues rock.
Yeah.
Sgt. Pepper kind of album.
Yeah.
They've got like all these, like if you listen to the album from beginning to end, they've got all these samples from old records and stuff in it.
Oh, cool.
And like there's this guy that did like these hypnotism records. Mm-hmm. And it is not, it starts, the whole record starts out, it is not the point of this record to relax. just weird, cool stuff.
That's cool.
That they mixed in. And it's awesome.
That's way awesome.
It's a really awesome thing. And that's part of why it took so long to finish it. It's because they just kept tweaking it and tweaking it and tweaking it.
Well, at least they're dedicated.
Yeah. And Chase is awesome. He's their lead singer. Mm-hmm. He's like, when you meet him, he's kind of unassuming, mm-hmm. pretty quiet guy.
Yeah. Kind of like you. You're the same.
But when he gets on stage, he's like a total wild man.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
He's like jumping all over and he's got like hair down to here and it's flying everywhere and he's like kicking total stuff over. Out. Yeah. He's like nuts. Absolutely nuts. But he puts on a good show.
That's awesome.
Puts on a great show. So if you can go see Queen Adilla, go see them.
I will add it to my list.
They're good.
I just saw Taylor Swift, so got to move on to the next thing.
Well, and like the whole band, they're into really old school like blues.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
And so when Wiz met them, he was just like blown away with their knowledge of like stuff from the 20s and 30s. Yeah. He's like, how do you know this stuff?
All of you were born several decades too late.
Yeah. But, you know.
Cool.
I like electronica too, so.
Yeah, I can appreciate that.
I think I'm in the right place.
Yeah.
Because I can get both.
You have everything at your fingertips these days.
That's right. It's awesome. I'm going to play one more found audio for you.
Cool. I'm excited.
One more. I found out about this and then I was like, that can't be real. And then I looked it up and it was kind of real.
I have no idea what it's going to be now.
It was kind of real. And so I ordered the little thing and
whatever that is.
Yeah, I'm going to play it first and then I'll talk about it.
They lie in boot hills all over the West. The gunslingers, the Billy the Kids, and worse. Fellows like that coward that shot Bill Hickok. There's always ones like that in every time of history. Most of them were varmints, but every once in a while, in one of them, there may have lived a man. He lay face down in the desert sand, clutching his six gun in his hand. Shot from behind, I thought he was dead, but under his heart was an ounce of lead. A spark still burned, so I used my knife, and late that night I saved the life of Ringo.
Ringo, Ringo.
I nursed him till the danger passed. The days went by, he mended fast. Then from dawn till setting sun, he practiced with that deadly gun. An hour on hour, I watched in awe. No human being could match the draw of Ringo.
Ringo.
One day we rode the mountain crest, and I went east and he went west. I took the law and wore a star, while he spread terror near and far. With lead and blood he gained such fame, all through the West they feared the name of Ringo.
Ringo, Ringo.
I knew someday I'd face the test, which one of us would be the best. And sure enough, the word came down that he was holed up in the town. I left the posse out in the street, and I went in alone to meet Ringo.
Ringo.
They said my speed was next to none, but my lightning draw had just begun when I heard a blast that stung my wrist. The gun went flying from my fist, and I was looking down the bore of the deadly 44 of Ringo. Say that was the only time that anyone had seen him smile. He slowly lowered his gun and then he said to me, "We're even, friend." So at last I understood that there was still a spark of good in Ringo.
Ringo.
I blocked the path of his retreat. He turned and stepped into the street. A dozen guns spit fire and lead. A moment later, he lay dead. The town began to shout and cheer. Nowhere was there shed a tear for Ringo.
Ringo.
The story spread throughout the land that I had beaten Ringo's hand. And it was just the years, they say, that made me put my guns away. But on his grave, they can't explain the tarnished star above the name of Ringo.
Patrick Stewart's Cowboy Classics. This is almost too good to be true.
I know, right?
I think this was just an old passion project that he has had in his head for a long time.
So I found out about this because there was a YouTube video going around.
Uh-huh.
And it's in the style of those old school...
As Seen on TV.
As Seen on TV, yeah. Kind of commercials.
Okay.
And it's like for this...
Only 1995.
Basically. But it's like when they would do the records that they would sell that way online.
Yeah.
And they were like the...
All of the favorite classics.
Yeah, the collected version. Yeah. So this was Patrick Stewart's Cowboy Classics.
It's like, of course you want this.
And I was like... Okay, A, how did this get made? Because it's obviously him in the commercial, and this thing is cheesy as all get out. And it has the 800 number at the end and everything, and I was just like, what is this?
And people leapt to their phones. They couldn't pick up the phone fast enough. They couldn't pick up their home phone fast enough.
So I look it up, and you go to the website, you find, there is a website even for it.
Oh, wow, you've done your homework.
And there's also one from the Christmas album on here. So.
Here comes Santa Claus. It's got you covered.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So yeah, there's like the three different albums that these are samples from.
I like how we're listening to a digital copy and you have your physical copy still in saran wrap.
Oh no, it's open.
Oh, it's been open. It's, I was like, ultimate fan right
here. This is a rip.
Okay.
This is a rip. Because I don't do MP3.
Oh. Ugh.
So this is an uncompressed copy.
Now it sounds like a car commercial for a Dodge Durango.
Okay, so I figured out what it was. So you go to the website and it says, so you can't buy the records.
Mm-hmm.
The box set is sold out.
Yeah.
But you can still buy the sample.
Oh, good.
So that's what this is. But what it actually is it's a fundraiser for a charity that he does.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so this was a way, every one of these that they sell, the money goes to a charity.
That's awesome.
But I mean, he does a really good job.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's got the whole shebang. He's playing that part well. It looks like he's enjoying it.
Oh, yeah. He's to the point of his life that I love it. When people get to that point of their life, they just don't care.
Yeah, the legend, whatever the legend does, goes.
Yeah, it's like, I can do whatever I want.
It's true.
It doesn't matter.
And he did. And he did it for someone's benefit.
And everybody gets to that point. That's why when you go to gyms, the old guys just walk around in the locker room because they just don't care.
I think I can agree. I think I know what you're talking about, sadly.
All right. It's been a great show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I feel like I've learned so much. I'm so uncultured. I'm uncultured swine compared to you in audio.
But give us a call. Please give us a call.
801-753. Well, what was the word?
Oh, sketch one.
Sketch one. 801 sketch one.
That's right.
My radio voice.
801-753-8241. And leave us a message. We will feature the messages on the podcast.
So beware.
So just call in. Tell us a spooky story.
Mom, if you're listening, please call in.
Tell us a funny story.
Funny story, Mom.
Play the guitar for us. I don't know. Just something. Just call and leave us a message.
That's cool.
The messages are limited to 3 minutes. I can't change that.
Open mic.
But yeah, give us a call. And thanks for listening.